In the Matthew account of the birth of Jesus, we're told that this baby would have a very important theological name. The name Jesus, you know, Jesus would be hollered by Mary whenever she needed Jesus to come home. But he had another name, a name that was more of a signal for the sons of men, you and me, letting us know that God was up to something in the birth of Jesus. And that name is Emmanuel, just like the passage said, which means God with us. And then John, he tells us the same thing, but he tells it in a different way. See, John's story starts at the very beginning of time and focuses on God's cosmic plan in the birth of Jesus. Jesus is this eternal word of God who existed before time began. Jesus is the word on which all of creation depends on. What was so utterly amazing is that this eternal word took on human flesh and dwelt among us. I just want to say that again, just to kind of wake you up. The God of the universe became flesh and blood, became skin and bones, so that he could be here with us, so that we could touch and see the living God. And I think that is utterly amazing. The skies of heaven cannot contain the glory of God, but yet somehow, mysteriously, God has come to dwell among us by becoming like us, becoming a human being, being born of Mary. And one of the reasons why this is so utterly amazing and important about Christmas is that it's not just that God gave us a gift, he did, and it's not just that he fulfilled promises, he did that too, and it's not that the forgiveness of sins is a small thing, it's a really big thing. It's just that what's so shocking is God accomplished all of these wonderful things in the most unlikeliest of ways. That God would become a human being like you and me. And I think one of the reasons why this isn't more maybe startling for us when we think about and contemplate it is because I think we take the nearness of God for granted sometimes. I think we take that for granted. We think of God like a pal. God is our co-pilot, you know? The big guy upstairs. You know, wise men and women of old, they didn't think of God in such ways. The Bible uses words like holy to describe what God is like. God is sacred. God is pure. And becoming too comfortable with the sacred, my good friends, can kill you. I want to tell you about a man named Uzzah. Uzzah most likely was your typical hardworking Hebrew, a guy you could probably count on to get a job done well. And he was given a job, sadly for him, that turned fatal. He was told to go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back to the holy city of Jerusalem. Now, if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, this is basically a golden box that God told his people to make, and they stored important things in this box. And the people who told Uzzah to go get the Ark, they should have given him more specific instructions. You see, God told his people in his word that this box, this ark, needed to be carried a certain way by certain people. But instead of obeying God's word, they threw the box in the back of a wagon pulled by a bunch of mules. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if King David kind of overlooked an appropriations bill or something that had some highway funds in it. But the wagon began to totter. And Uzzah, I'm thinking, trying to be helpful, he reached out to steady the ark, and he touched it. And the moment he touched the ark, he was struck dead by God. He touched the sacred at his own peril. Now, maybe you hear that story, and you think, man, what's God's problem? You know? Like, why would he do that? And you're not alone if you feel that way. I mean, King David, who sent Uzzah on that mission, he felt the exact same way. He was angry. David was afraid. In fact, he changed his plans. He didn't even bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, at least for a while. But friends, one of the things that Scripture wants us to see is that God didn't make the mistake. Uzzah, he's the one who made the mistake. David is the one who made the mistake. And those he put in charge, they forgot that God is holy and pure. He is to be revered and feared. Blessings come when you obey God's word. Curses come when you ignore it. And that's exactly what Uzzah experienced, was the curse of God. We can never take the holiness and the purity of God for granted. And it's instances and circumstances like this that communicated something very important to the people of God for a very long time. And the message was this: don't get too close. When God met Moses on the mountain, he told the people, don't even touch the mountain or you'll die. And when God had the people construct the temple in Jerusalem, they made a room called the Most Holy Place that no one could enter except the high priest just one time a year. It was sacred. And the people began to learn, very importantly, very early, about God. Stay away. Stay away. Now you might wonder, man, why would God be like that? That doesn't sound like a very good God, a very loving God. But, well, you need to understand something. The Scripture tells us the problem, it's not with God. The problem is with you. The problem is with me. Because God is holy, and I'm not holy. And God is pure, and you're not pure. See, friends, we miss the mark of God's standards because of our sin. And so in reality, God telling his people, stay away. Don't go in that room in the temple. Don't touch that mountain. Treat the Ark of the Covenant with great reverence. When God tells the people that, he's telling them out of love. He doesn't want them to perish. God is a consuming fire. And if we get too close to that consuming fire, we will be burned. And maybe you feel that way sometimes, that you can't get too close to God. Maybe you've kept your distance. Maybe even you've done it almost unknowingly a little bit. You know, you felt uncomfortable. Maybe you've felt like you didn't belong near God. Maybe you've wanted to pray. Maybe you've wanted to ask God questions. Maybe you even wanted to complain a little bit, but you haven't felt like that's something you feel good to do or comfortable to do. Well, I just want to tell you something. You're not that far off. You're actually not that far off. You're actually thinking clearly. You see, Christmas, friends, fixes this problem. While we can't get too close to God, Christmas tells us that God has decided to come near to you and to me. While we can't compensate for our sins, God can compensate for our sins in sending Jesus. And while there are walls and barriers that separated the people from God, God broke down those barriers so he could be near to you and to me. That's what God did in the coming of Jesus. He broke down those walls so that he would be near you and near me. And ultimately, in the death of Jesus on that cross, he paid for sins once and for all so that we always would have access to God, to be with him and he with us. And that's the great news about Christmas. There's a story in John chapter 4 about Jesus talking to this woman from Samaria. He was on this journey that he went through this land of Samaria, north of Judea. He got tired with his disciples and he sent them off to get some food and he rested by a well. And as he was resting, this Samaritan woman came to draw some water. And as she approached, Jesus reached out in love. Now you need to understand something. This woman had absolutely no reason to think she could be close to the Son of God. As you read in John chapter 4, culturally speaking, ethnically speaking, religiously, morally, this woman comes up short. She's breaking God's commands with her romantic relationships. She's part of a cultural group that's rejected God many, many years ago. She doesn't understand God's ways. She doesn't understand his promises. Her path is leading her away from Jesus, not towards him. But friends, Jesus wasn't waiting for her to find him. Jesus went out to find this woman. And instead of criticizing her, he taught her words of life. He offered her forgiveness and grace. He treated her with dignity and respect. And this is the picture of Christmas that I rejoice in, because it gives me that visual image of God reaching out to someone who is undeserving and unworthy of God coming near, but he came. Because I'm unworthy, and I don't deserve God coming near me, but he sought me out in the coming of Jesus. Did you know that that's why Jesus came to the earth? To be near you? That's why he came? That's why Christmas is so glorious? Did you know this? Did you know that God came to earth to be near you, to be with you, even though you've made the mistakes that you've made, even though you've messed up so many times? And do you believe this? Now, believing it's a little different than knowing it, right? Believing it means it makes your heart happy. Believing it means it impacts you, like it changes the course of your life. Believing it changes you. Even though you have addictions, even though you've struggled for years, God has come to be with you and your heart is filled with joy. Or maybe even though you have that secret sin that you're so afraid of anybody finding out, that God still came to be with you to forgive you of that sin. You see, believing Jesus came to be with you, friends, creates a joy as you contemplate the season that transcends the family times and the presents and the time off from work. And Kevin, he mentioned it earlier, the way that you and I can experience this nearness of God is through our confession and repentance of sin. Confession means you just acknowledge your error, you acknowledge your waywardness, you acknowledge your need. And then repentance means to turn. It means to turn towards the Lord. And when we do that with a broken and contrite heart, God ushers in his grace so that we might experience the nearness of God. Now, why would we do that? Why would we humble ourselves in such a way to acknowledge that and to turn? Well, it's because we believe. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in this message of Christmas. And so, friends, I want to encourage you as you celebrate tonight and as you celebrate tomorrow, remind yourself of these things. Ask yourself even, do I believe this? And as you do, your heart will be lifted up with joy as you count the greatness of our God for us in Christ and sending him to us, born of the Virgin Mary, this weekend.